The Gemara says, except the Zuman, the Afpehe, and Mabe is going over to Pehvav and Medalev. And how do we know that Pikuach Nefesh is Deich HaShabbos? So the Gemara quotes a whole number of possibilities. One of the possibilities is from the pasuk in last week's parasha, V'shamu v'nei Yisrael sa'Shabbos, Lassus sa'Shabbos, the Kol Yisrael should keep Shabbos in order to make Shabbos. How do you keep Shabbos in order to make Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Chalel of Shabbos achas, k'dei she'yishma Shabbos is harbe. If a person's life is in danger, violate this Shabbos in order so that he'll be around the following Shabbos. But then the Gemara quotes at the end the source of Shmuel, which the Gemara seems to accept, and that is based on the Pesukim Parshas Achrimois, V'chai Bohem, that you should live through the performance of the mitzvahs, V'chai Bohem V'lo She'yomos Bohem. And the Gemara says that all of the different possibilities that were raised throughout the course of the discussion have a pircha, have a problem, or a snag, except for the opinion of Shmuel, which has no pircha, and therefore the Gemara seems to conclude, like Shmuel, that it's based on V'chai Bohem V'lo She'yomos Bohem. And the Gemara says, once we have concluded, like Shmuel, that includes not only a vadai pikuach nefesh, a person whose life is certainly in danger on Shabbos, but even a suffik pikuach nefesh, a person whose life is in a doubtful state, also we can violate the Shabbos for a suffik pikuach nefesh. What's called a suffik pikuach nefesh, though? So Shechter writes in the Mikveh Atzon that there are three, he addresses or outlines three categories of suffik. The first is something which is really far-fetched. The Pesukei Tshuva writes in Hilchos Avelos, in the name of the Chassam Sofer, and discussing a brayso mesechta the Smachis, that it once happened that they buried somebody and who they thought was dead, and 3 days later they heard him knocking on the cave, you know, they, let me out, you know, that he was still alive. So the Chassam Sofer was asked, maybe we should, and this happens, by the way, I don't have time to document it now, but this happens, you know, every 5 years or so. You could go, if you go through news stories, you'll see that it's true. It happens about every 5 years. They bury somebody, or they're in the middle of the autopsy, and the person is still alive. So, you know, or they come back to life. So maybe we should wait 3 days before actually burying people out of fear that maybe they're still alive. So some cipher says, no, because even though this does occur, and it does, it seems to actually you know, correspond to reality in our times as well, it's really far-fetched. It's echamine elef. Alofim, or it's, you know, one in thousands of thousands, and it's really far-fetched. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer says, we're not choshesh for such a suffix. And if we're not choshesh for such a suffix there, we should be choshesh for such a suffix here as well. And that would not be considered to be a suffix because it never should be derech HaShavu. So let's say a person stubs his toe, and he said, I went in the, you know, the checkout counter at the supermarket, man stubs toe and dies, and I'm afraid now that I'm, you know, I'm going to die. So then we don't, we would ignore him. And we would not be Mechal Shabbos for this person's, you know, stubbed toe. To the other extreme, though, the Magen Avraham quotes the name of the Radvaz and the Ramban and the Teres HaAdam, that if there's a Miyat HaMatzoy, it's 10% of people, you know, mortality rates from such a procedure, or a person who ignores, you know, such a situation, we would demand that they address the situation and violate Shabbos in order to take care of it. We wouldn't allow a person to say, well, I want to be Machmir on myself and not violate Shabbos. Person is obligated, ushmartim eldanav shoseichem, take care of himself if there is a miyot hamatzoi, that it could be a pikuach nefesh. If it's above 10%, we would coerce him or, you know, compel him to violate Shabbos. But what about anything that's in between this? You know, echad minei alofim, and 1 in 10%, so that Rav Shechter claims, and many others as well, that depends on a person's, whether he's nervous or not. And as a precedent for this, Rav Shechter cites from the Sefer, the biography of the Chazon Ish, Pe'er Hador, which recounts that during the Second World War, so the Germans would bomb based on you know, where they saw lights coming from. So when the air raid time would go off, people would have to turn off their lights. So the Shaila was asking a person to turn off their lights on Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish, Paskin, and many others as well, that it depends on the person. If he's nervous, then you're allowed to turn off the lights. If the person is not nervous, so then he should not turn out the lights. But that it depends on you.
They're allowed to turn on before Shabbos?
Leave the lights on before
that
Shabbos.
Might have to.
Yes, correct. Or the Chafetz Chaim was once asked to come and speak about Chilul Shabbos in a certain town, and the Chafetz Chaim said that he refused to, you know, make a macha against those people who went to work on Shabbos because he says they feel that it's pikuach nefesh, that their lives are in danger. So the Chazon Ish added, he said, don't think that the Chafetz Chaim, if he would have lived there, would have been Mechal Shabbos. He would have had more bitachon, but if people are nervous and they feel that their lives are in danger, that would be considered to be a suffik pikuach nefesh, and this is relevant in other areas of halacha too. So with regards to Shabbos as well, though, that's to be the situation that a person is nervous and it's not really far-fetched, or even if he's not nervous, but it is a real suffik of a miyut hamatzah, pikuach nefesh, we would allow the person to violate Shabbos. Once we reached the conclusion of a chai ben v'loshi yomus ben, what happened to that initial reason that we raised of shamar v'nei yisrael to Shabbos lasos Shabbos chalav Shabbos achas kedei sheyishma Shabbos is harbe? Does that reason still linger in the background? Does that still play a role, or has that been totally rejected? So that seems to be a running machlekes harishonim. The Ramban in the Teres HaAdam writes that one is only allowed to be machalos Shabbos for a vaday bar kayama. The chai behem v'loshi yomus behem includes only a person who's a viable life independently. But if a fetus is viability is in danger on Shabbos, you would not be mechal Shabbos to save the fetus. And the Bahag, the Rosh quotes him the Bahag, Rosh himself, the Zuma quotes him the Bahag, who disagrees. They'd be mechal Shabbos even to save an ubar, a fetus. And the Nitziv explains in the Hemek Sheilas, comments in the Sheiltos, that this depends on whether or not we still accept the first reason that was mentioned by the Gemara of Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harve. Because if it's only because of a Chayba, you have to be a viable life independently right now, and you can't be Machal Shabbos to save an Ubar. But if it's because of a future, considerations, so then perhaps if Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos is Harve violate this Shabbos, because in the future we'll be able to keep Shabbos, maybe even one could violate Shabbos for an ubar. And the Bir Halacha paskins like the Bahag, and that's the standard practice, that when Machal Shabbos, not only for a person who can live independently, but even to save the lives for a fetus or a pregnancy that's in danger, we would be Machal Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch, though, the Bir Halacha already raises this issue, discusses what about a Suffolk Nefel. And the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that a Suffolk Nefel, we are not Machal Shabbos. Let's say it's a Suffolk Ben Zion, Safik Ben Ches. In the times of the Gemara, of course, pregnancy could either last 7 months or 9 months. If the baby was born after 8 months, it was a Vadei Nefel. There's no way that the baby could live. And if it was born 7 months, it was a Bar Kayama. 9 months, it was a Bar Kayama. What if it's a Safik Ben Zion, Safik Ben Ches? So then the Shulchan Aruch paskins, we should not be Mechal Shabbos. And the Bialacha disagrees. He says, it's no worse than an Ubar. If we pass him like the Bahag or Machal Shabbos for an Ubar, which you never know when he's going to be born. He might be born Ben 7, he might be born Ben Ches. We don't know at this point. But nonetheless, for Machal Shabbos, because of future considerations, possibilities, Chalav Shabbos Achas, Yishma, Sopos Vesarbe, so we should be Machal Shabbos for the Safik Ben Zayin, Safik Ben Ches. Either way, Dr. Abraham, in his Nishma Savrom, which is the Bible of all medical ethics, you should have it. As well as the Encyclopedia Hilchatit Rifuit, if you're going to deal with anything having to do with medical issues on Shabbos or other areas of halacha, you must own these svarim. So in Dr. Abraham's Sefer, in the Nishmas Avram, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, it appears in the Sefer Chazon Ish as well, that this has changed in our time. Not Nishtanu HaTvayim maybe, but Nishtanu HaRefuos, and nowadays, in our time, even a child that's born of Ben Ches, of course we know in our time it's commonplace, Maisim B'chom Yoim, that is a Barak HaYam, and of course, therefore, we would respond appropriately, and a person should be Mechal Shabbos, of course, even for Ben Zayin, Ben Ches, all of these infants, of course, are treated as a Vaday Barak HaYam, and they can won't be Mechal Shabbos in order to save them. We don't, though, so it sounds like this Svar V'Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Deish Yishma Shabbos Tzharbe, is still in play. We wouldn't take the svar to the opposite direction, though. We wouldn't say, well, let's say a person can't live beyond the Shabbos, that we shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Chav Tes Siv Dalin, that even if the person can only live Chayei Shoah, for a short period of time after Shabbos, or even on Shabbos, we would still be Mechal Shabbos. We don't say Chalel of Shabbos Ach, in the opposite direction. But this reason also does seem to, though, be relevant, at least with regards to the Ubar, that we Mechal Shabbos, even though he's not a Bar Kayama now, V'chai Behem V'Losh Yemesvam wouldn't apply, we would be Mechal Shabbos now for future considerations. This reason also seems to perhaps be behind distinction we find between Hilchos Shabbos and other areas of Halacha with regards to Sakanas Eiver. We'll get to it soon. But the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that we Mechal Shabbos for a Sakanas Ha'ayin, if a person's eye is in danger. And the Gemara explains that it's because Surina de'ena b'liba talu, that it's because the ligaments or the sinews of the eye are connected to the heart. This is an important statement hashkafically too. People see what the heart wants to see, perhaps, but also physically. The Gemara implies the eye is connected with the heart. So it's a sakanas ha'ayin, and it's treated as a sakanas nefasha, as a sakanas ha'lev. But the Gemara says it could be, therefore, you could be machal Shabbos even with deiraisas. However, the Rosh infers from that Gemara, where not for the fact that shirayna de'ena b'libatalu, that the eye and the heart could be connected, you can only violate isurim derabanan. And that's the way it's accepted in Shulchan Aruch, that for sakanas ha'ever, any other limb that's in danger, not the eye, you can only be machal Shabbos with isurim derabanan, not for an isur deiraisa. To save a limb, you cannot be machal Shabbos with an isur deiraisa. The Meiri disagrees in that Gemara, and he writes, no, sakanas ha'ayin is just an example, but sakanas ha'ever is the same as every sakanas ha'ayin. Every aver, you can be machal Shabbos, even with deiraisas, as the Tosfos himself, Pasuk on that of Zayin with Aleph, that also has, seems to be of that position. The Rashash changes the gear, so but that's the way we have it in Tosfos, is that sakanas ha'aver is kisakanas nefoshes. Practically speaking, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, Dr. Abraham writes in the Nishan Savram that every Sakonis Aver we treat practically as Sakonis Nefashos. Who is going to assess in real time whether or not it's a Sakonis, only Sakonis Aver? Who can say, a person's finger gets chopped off, don't worry, he'll be fine. You know, it might get infected. Or even a person breaks a limb, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, they get a blood clot. I mean, a million complications could arise, and therefore we always have to practically treat it as a Sakonis Nefashos and get it assessed and bring the guy to the hospital and the whole story. But, at least in theory, the opinion of the Meiri, Taisis, and Sukkah notwithstanding, we generally accept that a person on Shabbos, at least in theory, we cannot be Mechal Shabbos, but they rise for a Sakana Sever. Sakana Sever is not treated as Sakana Snafajas. However, the Shach writes in Yeridea that, generally speaking, a person only has to give up a fifth of his money in order to fulfill a Mitzvah Saseh. To avoid violating a Loi Saseh, you have to give up Kohan Beso, all of your money, rather than violating a sensei. So if a nachri comes and threatens you and says, perform this lo sasei, we're going to kill you, of course you're allowed to perform the lo sasei unless it's one of the gimel averes hachamuros. But he says, perform this lo sasei, or we're going to take all your money, then you're not allowed to perform the lo sasei. You have to rather give up all your money rather than perform the mitzvah lo sasei, violate the lo sasei. However, the shach writes, if he says, violate the lo sasei, or we're going to take your limb, no. Then you're allowed to violate the lo sasei. Sakonis Aver is treated as a Sakonis Nefoshes when it comes to violating a Lo Sese in the Torah. Even though you have to give up all your money, you don't have to give up a limb.
Is that because of what Nishma Sadam was saying?
No, no. Sakonis Aver, when it comes to other Yisurim, not Shabbos.
It's like Mary?
No, Shabbos is different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shabbos might be different. When it comes to, if he says, we're Kalayim, we're going to chop off a limb, You're allowed to wear kalayim. You don't have to give up your limb. If he says we're going to take your money, you have to give up all your money. But a limb, no. So for that reason, many poskim write, for example, I'd say when it comes to cornea transplants and where there's an iser of hanom and ames to take a cornea from a cadaver, and you're not allowed to benefit normally from cadavers. But if it's to save a person's eyesight, a limb, maybe it could be allowed. So, kind of saver, you could violate an Iser in the Torah. Or Ramosha discusses a kohen whose finger gets chopped off. So now, Ramosha says it's Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai is Metame. So the kohen is not allowed to come and touch or be in the same room as his detached finger. So how can we reattach the finger? Normally when a person loses a finger, they put it in ice, they bring him to the emergency room, and they reattach it. Says Ramosha, but he can't be in the same room as his own finger. How can we reattach it? So much is a long tshuva about that with many Sela Mekua, but one of them is that you don't have to give up a limb in order to avoid violating one of these Yisurim in the Torah, such as Tumas Kayhanim. Or a person, is a potential organ donor, so he's not obligated, says Ramesha, to give up one of his kidneys in order to save the lives of somebody else. He can do so if he chooses, but he's not obligated to do it, even though there's an Yisur in the Torah, L'sam Adam Riecha. But you're not obligated to give up a limb in order to avoid violating a loy sese in the Torah. When it comes to Shari Surim, Sakonis Aver is Kisakonis Nefoshes. Why is Shabbos more chomor? That we don't pass like the Meiri and Tosfos and Sukkah, we assume Sakonis Aver is not Kisakonis Nefoshes with regards to Shabbos. So the Egle Tal explains in the Akdama that it's because the Gemara had a tzad in Meseftes Yuma that Shabbos is Yahari Val Yavor. Why did the Gemara say you could violate Shabbos for Bikuach Nefesh? Violate this Shabbos, you'll be able to be around next Shabbos. Were it not for the fact that you'll be around next Shabbos, sounds like from the Gemara, you wouldn't be allowed to violate Shabbos. It's the Gemara seems to have the Havamina, or at least according to this opinion, that Shabbos is really a Har Goyavar. The only reason you can violate Shabbos is so that next Shabbos you'll be here to keep Shabbos. So therefore, since the Gemara seemed perhaps, you know, at least to give some indication that Shabbos is more chamor than other Isurim, that's where the Eglei Tal says that this is a manifestation, at least with regards to Sakana Sever. Sakana Sever is not treated as Sakana Sefash with regards to Shabbos, even though it would be treated as Sakana Sefash with regards to other Isurim. Yeah?
From the
first reason of the Gemara, which we still seem to accept somewhat, still has a little traction, you see that, whoa, this is not the same as other Isurim. We only allow Chil Shabbos, so you'll be keep Shabbos next Shabbos.
But this person anyway is going to be able to...
But Sakana Sever, you will be around next Shabbos. Oh, you'll be around next Shabbos, because into hate. He won't be missing an Aver, yes, okay. Nebuch. Well, you know, of course, but he'll be around. So no chalel of Shabbos off. He'll be around next Shabbos. So at least with the Sakana Sever, you see that this reason again seems to be manifested even l'chumra. Even though we said with Machal Shabbos even to save Chai Shah, at least there is does seem to be some remnant of this reason vis-a-vis Sakana Sever. This discussion, whether or not we still accept this reason of the Gemara, could be behind the bigger Machalikas HaRishayim. Within this entire sugya, and that is whether or not pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is hutro or dechuya. If we go with the second reason of the Gemara, that is because of v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamus b'hem, that sounds like we have a dilemma here. We have the value of life, and then you also have at the same time keeping Shabbos. And it sounds like v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamus b'hem, life trumps Shabbos. You know, that imperative trumps Shabbos. But that would imply that it's dechuya. Shabbos and life are competing, and life wins out. However, if it's because of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheishma Shabbos Tzharbe, violate this Shabbos, should be around next Shabbos, perhaps it's not just Dechuy, perhaps it's Hutra. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes in that Pasuk, that Shvishamu V'nei Yisrael says Shabbos, Lasos says Shabbos, that there's two types of Shabbos. You violate this Shabbos to be able to keep Shabbos. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, there's two types of Shabboses. There's one Shabbos without Chilul Shabbos, and there's one Shabbos with Chilul Shabbos. Meaning, when you're mechalel Shabbos to save somebody's life, that's not a violation of Shabbos. That itself, perhaps, is a kiyum of Shabbos, just a different type of Shabbos. A Shabbos of a Hatzolah member, a Shabbos with pikuach nefesh. That's what he says the pasuk means, aches Shabbos seisai tishmeru. You should keep my Shabbosos. Which two Shabbos is it referring to? So everyone says it's referring to the two Shabbos that we keep, and the Mashiach will surely come, right? Because it would only keep two Shabbos, and Uncle Moshe or something. We know, Mordechai and David, we know Shabbos would come. However, the Archive HaKadosh says, no, it's referring to the Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh and the Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. But keeping Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh is not a violation of Shabbos. It itself is a fulfillment of the mandate of Shabbos. Therefore, the Shmir Shabbos Kochatz quotes from Shlomo Zalman. Let's say a person violates Shabbos for what he thinks is a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. And then they get to the hospital and they say, oh, it's not a heart attack, it was just indigestion. So do we have to feel bad? Oh, you know, Chatasi, Avisi, Poshaiti. Or do we have to say, no, it's fine. We did what we thought at the time. It was pikuach nefesh. Or Shlomo Zalman says, no, it's not that we violated Shabbos b'tos. We were fulfilling Shabbos by violating Shabbos in order to save somebody's life. That itself is a fulfillment of Shabbos. For that reason as well, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Chesiv Beis, that generally speaking, when it comes to halacha, you should always ask first, do second. Unfortunately, most people don't do that. But it would be best if they would ask first, do second. You know, first ask before you do something. In the Shulchan Aruch, though, with regards to pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, tells us that's an exception to the rule. Rather, hashal b'makom pikuach nefesh hareza shefech damim. If a person asks a shayla when it comes to pikuach nefesh, then he's considered to be a murderer. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkan Vav, that's in Shin Chav Chesiv Beis. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkan Vav quotes from the Yushalmi, which Rabbi Neuberger made a big deal about. Then no, hanishal b'makom pikuach nefesh, a person who gets asked a shayla, meaning a rabbi who didn't speak about this enough that the people are not conversant. In the Lux of Pikuach Nefesh, they actually have to ask a Shaila, so then it's on him. It's his fault. Because he didn't teach the people properly. I was once standing over davening in the old base medrash, 20 years ago probably, and a guy passed out in the middle of Shacharis. Mamish keeled over. And nobody moved. Everyone's like, I'm like, dude. The guy literally fell onto his shtender, collapsed on the floor. He was fine. I don't know what it was. Episode or something. But people don't know. So then that's the rabbi's fault. The fact that people ask a shayla is the rabbi's fault. So therefore, the Gemara says, Hanishal is shevech damim. But either way, you're supposed to act first, do second. Why? Because even if a person acts betos also, so then he's been in fulfillment of Shabbos, not in violation of Shabbos. He's keeping the Shabbos that has the Shabbos with violating Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. That's not a violation of Shabbos. Perhaps it's a kiyum of Shabbos. So then one would perhaps argue that violating Shabbos for pikuach nefesh is not dechuya; it's hutra. That itself is part and parcel of what it means to be a shayver Shabbos kilchasa. This issue of whether or not pikuach nefesh and Shabbos is hutra or dechuya, of course, is underlies a lot of the issues, practical issues that come up with regards to pikuach nefesh and Shabbos. For example, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis, that when you mechal Shabbos, name of the Gemara Masechta Yuma, when you mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, you should do so al yedei Yisraelim gedolim, through adults, not women and children. And Tosfos and the Ran explain that it's because if you'll do so with women and children, people will think that but adult wouldn't be mechal Shabbos because you're not allowed to. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Lamed Aleph quotes from the Ran Perush Mishnayos, if there's chachamim, tamini chachamim, they should be the ones to be mechal Shabbos. Oftentimes in the shul, when there's a situation with Pekuach Nefesh, Rabbi Neuberger said this, I do this myself, and that is that the rabbi should be the one to do it, not only because you have to be willing to eat your own cooking, you know, if you're going to pasch in a certain way, you better be willing to do it, but also because people have to know, you know, it's a, what Obama called a teachable moment, right? So it's a good time to teach people what the halacha is by doing it yourself. Otherwise, people will get the wrong impression. However, the Rama quotes from the Shulchan Gibayrim that no, if a person can lower the level of Isa that he's doing, then he should do it with a lower level of Isa. If you could pick up the phone with your elbow, die with your elbow, there's a Nakri who's present, you could call a cab, or a person should try and lower the Isurim as much as possible. The Gemara has the rule in general, Hakal Triwa. We try and minimize Isurim. So much so that the Vir Halacha writes in Siman Reish Ayin Ches, if a person didn't lower the level of Isurim, he'd be Chayav Chatos. If he did a more egregious Aveira than he had to, more egregious Chilul Shabbos than he had to, he'd be Chayav Chatos. So therefore, you have to know the hierarchy or the pecking order of what's a more severe Isur on Shabbos. So for example, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Moruk Tzia, over here, Shin Chav Ches of Kon Chav Hei, that it's better to use a Nachri than to do a Malacha B'Shinoi. Rezam and Nechemia adds, both of these are better than asking a katan to do something. Better a nachri or shinoi than a katan. And if you have the choice between a nachri or a shinoi, a nachri is always preferable. So your best option is always a nachri. Then if you know nachri is shinoi, if no shinoi, then perhaps, you could ask a katan. But usually you have one of the first options. So you have to try and lower the Yisurim as much as possible. And that's how we paskin. We paskin like the Ramah. We try and lower the level of the Yisurim as much as possible. However, Shlomo Zalman has an important proviso. This appears in the Mincha Shlomo, as well as Rabbi Chanan has this in the Kovet Shiurim and Sechlis Ksubis. That's only assuming all options are equally effective, or equally accessible, or equally convenient. If one option is more difficult or less convenient, then you don't have to avail yourself of the lesser Iser. So, for example, Shlomo Zalman is discussing a person who's treating a chola and he needs hot water on Shabbos. So he's allowed to cook the water if he doesn't have hot water present. He could go at 3 in the morning and knock on the neighbor's door and see if he has a Shabbos or not. But Shlomo Zalman says you're not allowed to be matriach your friend in order to lower the level of Easter that you're doing. To treat a legitimate chayla, if the chayla needs hot water, you can heat up water unless you have hot water present. If you have no hot water present, so you don't have to go and wake up, you don't have to go and wake up the neighbor. Or so, for example, therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Lamas of Kan Aleph, based on the Gemara Masechtas Nida, that there were Chasidim HaRishonim, who were only mishamish mitasam at times that they knew that their wife wouldn't deliver on Shabbos. They knew that the wife would get pregnant and that the pregnancy wouldn't be due on Shabbos. So they planned that far in advance to avoid Chilul Shabbos. So based on that, the Sefer Chassidim, I think the Gemara says it calls Chassidim or Rishonim or whatever, that the Sefer Chassidim says, based on that, that if a person knows his wife is in the ninth month, he should go and stay, get a hotel room near the hospital. So you shouldn't have to be Mechal Shabbos in order to get to the hospital on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. However, in the Sefer Teres HaYoledes, or maybe as you stay by the in-laws or something. However, in the Sefer Teres HaYoledes, that's Rabbi Zilberstein, Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law, quotes the name Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach. I think of Shetler passes like the Sefer Chassidim. But they argue. They say, no, you don't have to do that. Why? Normally you have to minimize the number of Yisurim on Shabbos, if it's possible. But this is not all things being equal. That's only if all options are equally accessible and convenient, enjoyable, etc. But if they're not all equally accessible or enjoyable, then you don't have to do it. If this goes stay in a hotel room, is it without a doubt an inconvenience? You're not obligated to inconvenience yourself to that degree. Yes, the Chassidim HaRishonim did that. It's Midas Chassidus if you want to do that. But you're not obligated to do that, Meikra Din. And certainly to go stay by the in-laws, you know, that's an inconvenience that you don't have to do that in order to avoid Chilul Shabbos. But the let's say though, this Torah Seiletis does add in the name of Moshe Sternbach, if she's already in labor, but the doctor said come in 3 hours, then you should really go before Shabbos. You shouldn't wait at home at that point. You're already in the situation now. So then you should go. But others, or Ramosha says, for example, let's say a doctor knows yesterday he's on call Friday night. So he shouldn't wait till after the soup and the chicken soup and all that to go to the hospital. He knows that he's going to have to go later. So he should really go before Shabbos. Hakal al-Kal Tchila, avoid the Chilul Shabbos. And the situation is already upon you. However, even in these situations, the Shmir Shabbos Kochasin quotes from Shlomo Zalman, you can be Meikel. We still say the only time you have to go to the level of Isurim is when all things are equal. And here all things are not equal. The guy's entitled to eat his Shabbos meal at home, and then he can take a taxi to the hospital, later. The only time you say Akal Kalskigo is when all things are equal. But either way, we do Paschal like Drama, yeah?
What's the base Akal Kalskigo?
Yeah, easy first. Yeah. However, we do pass like the Ramah, that we try and lower the number of Yisurim as much as we can. What is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch? That you don't. That's only the Ramah says, the Shilti Gebarim, you have to, if there's a Nachri present, ask the Nachri. Shulchan Aruch said, no, ask Yisraelim Gedolim. So the Avnei Nezer says, because the Shulchan Aruch passes, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. Shabbos doesn't exist when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, or violating Shabbos is itself a fulfillment of Shabbos. That is also Kiyum Shabbos, is to violate Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh. So why do you have to lower, be matriarch yourself, to lower the number of Yisurim at all? And the Ramah seems to understand that there is a conflict here. There's the imperative of Shabbos, the imperative of Pikuach Nefesh, and you have to therefore minimize the conflict as much as possible. Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Dekuya. The Emek Bracha, the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, Avai Pamaramchik, argues that even the Shulchan Aruch agrees that Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Dekuya. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say you don't have to ask an Afri to do it? It's because of the impression it will give. People are going to think that you can't be Mechal Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh if every single time. You only ask the Nachri if I'm doing it with the Shinoi. They'll think that this is like some, shady business that we're engaging in. And they won't know that you can be Mechal Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh. And as we mentioned before, that is a real concern. That is a serious concern. People don't know that. Some people take too many liberties, but some people don't know that, that you should try and minimize Yisurim. But some don't know the basic halacha. You got to be mechal Shabbos b'kuach nefesh. There's a big tumult right now in different hatsalas, whether or not they should try and minimize Yisurim as much as possible. I think the hatsala, I don't want to name names, but hatsalas in certain parts of New York don't bother. They don't know anything about this. I think because the rabbanim are concerned, if you start telling people, well, you can only do it with the shinoi, you can only do it with this, you can only do it with that, that they won't know what to do. And other hatsala organizations, which more confident in the ability of their members to discern or know halacha, tell them that they should try and minimize the Yisurim as much as possible. So let's say you're getting in an ambulance on Shabbos, then you should open it with your elbow or with your foot. Or if you can do these things or you know how to do it, avoid signing things. There's a lot of things that hatzalah members encounter that could be avoided or could be minimized to be kalacha. It should do everything kalacha yad. So, which can be, obviously you can't insert an IV kalacha yad, but other things that can be done kalacha yad should be done kalacha yad. So that's a big tumult right now in different hatzalah organizations, how they should approach that issue, and their concern is it's not about conceptual machlekes. The machlekes is, can people discern between what can be done kalacha yad, or if we start making them nervous that they won't be able to function properly. But it could be everyone held pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya. However, there's another place in the Shulchan Aruch where he seems to tip his hand that pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is in fact hutra, because the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yodalid that if a person has an option on Shabbos, he's treating a chayla who needs meat. I don't know what chayli this is, but he needs meat, right? Protein. So you can either feed, but we have no kosher meat available, but we do have animals. So you can either shecht an animal and prepare the meat for him, but you'll be in violation of Shabbos, or I can feed him treif meat. Which should I do? Nevela or chilul Shabbos? Shulchan Aruch Paskins, nevela. I'm sorry. Yes. No, we shecht the animal. No, not nevela. Right.
This is
Shech the animal. Shin Chav Ches Sif Yodalid. Sorry. Yeah. Shech the animal. That's it. Not Nevela meat. No McDonald's. Shech the animal. Hayachol Sheyesh V'Sakana Tzarech Basar Shochtim Lo. Ve'ein Omer Nachilo Nevela. Sif Yodalid. Why? So must be, because when Pikuach Nefesh, with regards to the Isur of Nevela, the Rush says nobody argues that when it comes to Shari Surim, Pikuach Nefesh is dechuya, is a Hutra. There, everyone agrees it's dechuya. So Pikuach Nefesh vis-a-vis Nevela, that's dechuya. There's a conflict. When it comes to Shabbos, maybe it's a kiyum of Shabbos to violate Shabbos from Pikuach Nefesh. The Shomim Reisel Shabbos, Lassus is the Shabbos, the Archaim HaKadosh told us. So therefore, it says the Shulchan Aruch, violate Shabbos from Pikuach Nefesh, rather than feeding him trace meat. Don't you see the Shulchan Aruch calls it Hutra? And there the Ramah doesn't disagree. So it could be, though, that case is different. The Magen Avraham and the Taz both argue that perhaps violating Shabbos is preferable. Maybe Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is the Chuya. We all know it's the Chuya. There's a conflict, and we're going to try and minimize the Yisurim as much as possible, even according to the Shulchan Aruch. This case is different. You know why? Every kezias of Nevela that you eat is another Yisur. Shechting the animal on Shabbos is only one Yisur. Otherwise, every kezias is an Yisur. So accruing many small Yisurim, you know, Yisur Lav, perhaps is worse than one big Yisur Skila of Shabbos. That's a chakira that Yosef Engel has in the Sefer Lekach Toiv. What's worse, one big Yisur or many small Yisurim? So perhaps the Shulchan Aruch here is telling us many small Yisurim is worse than one big Yisur. Whether or not Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya, see perhaps the Machlek Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, but we certainly pass like the Ramah, that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos seems to be Dechuya. But this issue seems to be a Machlekes HaRishonim.
Wouldn't there be more than one Yisur by the Shechta as well?
One Shechta. That's it.
And the salt
drain.
No, the drain.
Kavushka, mavusha. It drains. You have to cook it, unless it's, you know, steak tartare, but who knows? You'll figure that out. Since we pass about Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, or another nafkamina about whether or not Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya, is whether or not one can put himself in the situation of Pikuach Nefesh in the first place. Meaning, let's say I know I'm going to be in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, am I allowed to enter into such a situation? If it's a Hutra, why can't you put yourself in such a situation? Even if you don't encounter Pikuach Nefesh, you violate Shabbos. There's no conflict. But if it's Dechuya, you should probably avoid those kinds of situations in the first place. So the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Shabbos that when they would perform a bris milah, so they would always wash the baby in hot water before the meal and after the meal as an antiseptic. And on Shabbos as well, they would do that. And they would heat up the water before Shabbos. What if the water spills? So if it's for the, what if the water spills for after the bris milah? Can we do the bris milah knowing that after the bris milah we'll be in a situation pikuach nefesh and we'll have to heat up water? Or perhaps we should postpone the bris till after Shabbos. So that's a machlokes between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban and the Mochamas, Masechet Shabbos. So the opinion of the Baal HaMor is we push off the bris. And the opinion of the Ramban is Ein L'mitzvah L'makayim V'shaita. You do the bris after the bris. Be Pikuach Nefesh. No, you'll violate Shabbos then. So it appears that the opinion of the Ramban is Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. What's wrong? You're doing a Mila. You're allowed to do Mila on Shabbos. A Mila Bismana. Oh, afterwards you have to eat a water. Okay. So that's a Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. According to the Baal HaMor, it seems to be that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. And that's why you have to push off the bris. You're not allowed to put yourself in such a situation knowing that it's going to be, you're going to have to violate Shabbos. The Chazon Ish, it's quoted by the Sefer Per Hador, again the biography, he derived from the Baal HaMor perhaps an even larger principle. And that not only, or maybe you don't see from here, because Nefesh and Shabbos is Dechuya, but rather it's because to put yourself in a situation which you know you'll have to violate Shabbos, because Nefesh is not only Chilul Shabbos, that's Bitul Shabbos. You're negating Shabbos. And to obliterate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah knowingly is a Yahar Gal Yavor. That's like erasing one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Because not only are you in a situation of, that's like he says, Kamas Nalakoras HaShabbos. It's not that you find yourself in a Pikuach Nefesh, okay, Machal and Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh. Here, you're putting yourself in such a situation deliberately. That's Bitul Shabbos. The Chazon Ish, which is a very unusual concept, but the Chazon Ish felt, once they asked him when they were saving people during the Second World War, so they had to fly planes. He got an opportunity to save people. He had to seize it right away. So they had an opportunity to save people from Europe, but the only time the plane could take off was Shabbos. So they asked the Chazon Ish, can we fly on Shabbos? Chazon Ish said yes. Then they came back to ask the very same question a month later. And this time the Chazon Ish said no. Why? They asked him a month ago, you said, we could do it. Why now? No. So Chazon Ish said, the first time is unanticipated. That's Chilul Shabbos. Every time now the flights are going to take off on Shabbos, every day, every Shabbos you're going to violate Shabbos, that's not Chilul Shabbos, it's Bitul Shabbos. There's no more Shabbos anymore. So that's not just because Pekach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuyah. Perhaps here it's worse. That's like Akira Shabbos. So the Chazanish also said, even if a person is nervous, let's say he's going to lose his Parnasa, and he'll be Besafek Sakana, if he's going to lose his job, the Chazanish said to go to work every Shabbos, and, you know, make it like it's a Yimei Achoyo. That's not Chilul Shabbos of Pekach Nefesh, that's Bittul Shabbos. That's Yehar Goli Avor. Then there's no more Shabbos. So the Chazanish felt to do it every week, that's not Chilul Shabbos, it's Bittul Shabbos. And that's what the Baal HaMor is driving at. However, the Pashup Shabbos in the Baal HaMor is that that Pekach Nefesh on Shabbos, you see from Pekach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuyah, and therefore you should avoid the situation if possible. However, there's a Baal HaMor, this is a famous contradiction in the Baal HaMor. There's another Baal HaMor which seems to contradict this Baal HaMor. Because the Gemara says, Mesech LeShabbos, Daf Yates, Eim HaFligim B'Sfina, one is not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos. Why not? There's a big machlek, so we show you as to why not. But the Baal HaMor's opinion is, because sea travel was dangerous, and you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos for Pekach Nefesh on Shabbos. So if it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days before Shabbos, you're already thinking about Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, to go on a boat trip, even though you're going to travel on Shabbos, you're not thinking Shabbos, it's not on your radar right now. You're still recovering from the previous Shabbos. But if it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're supposed to be thinking about the coming Shabbos, you're supposed to have in your mind, then you want to keep Shabbos, and you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you know you might have to be Mechal Shabbos. That's why the Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa says if a person has a elective surgery, you should avoid doing it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If there is a reason to do the surgery, it should not be avoided or pushed off. But if there is, and no one should feel bad about it, people have a misconception about this, but if there is no reason to do it now, a guy that has a nose job or something, shouldn't be done on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because it might lead to Chilul Shabbos on Shabbos. Sunday, you should do it on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. However, the Gemara there says, if a person is traveling with Dvar Mitzvah, then it's allowed. So, why? If he's traveling with Dvar Mitzvah, why is it allowed? So the Baal HaMor says, with Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to put yourself in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Oh, then why is that different than the Bris Milah? We said, if the water spills right after the Bris Milah, you can't do the Bris Milah on Shabbos, you're allowed to put yourself in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh of Shabbos, because Pikuach Nefesh of Shabbos is the Dechuyah, you have to avoid it. How then can I take a trip for a mitzvah on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, knowing I might have to see travels, I might have to be Mechal Shabbos, Pekuach Nefesh. Famous contradiction of the Baal HaMor. So the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan all resolve that there's a difference between a Safek Pekuach Nefesh and a Vada Pekuach Nefesh. When you do the Bris Milah, you know b'vados, you're going to have to heat up water afterwards. Oh, so that you can't put yourself in that situation knowingly. The sea travel was dangerous, but you don't know for sure you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. So you could put yourself in a Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, but not a Vadai Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Or the Orcha Shabbos distinguishes, also a contemporary Sefer and Orcha Shabbos, you have to have the Orcha Shabbos. The Orcha Shabbos distinguishes between on Shabbos itself versus before Shabbos. If the water for the Bris Milah spills before Shabbos, on Shabbos, so you're putting yourself in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, that you shouldn't do. So avoid the Bris Milah, push it off. Here, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's before Shabbos ever came. Even though Shabbos is in your mind, but it's before Shabbos came. So for a mitzvah purpose, then it's allowed. Rav Salvechik has a famous letter, which I think Rav Schechter quotes in one of the biographies, I forgot which volume, which he wrote to Tshuva, that he wrote to Dr. Belkin, about whether or not it's mutter to serve for smicha students, to serve in as a chaplain in the army, knowing that at the different places they might be stationed, they'll have to violate Shabbos or Pekuach Nefesh. So how are you allowed to put yourself in such a situation knowing that you're going to have to violate Shabbos? So Rav Salvechik deals with the steer in the Baal HaMor and brings up, I think he goes with Orcha Shabbos as the resolution, that it depends before Shabbos or on Shabbos. Either way, though, we seem to pass and conclude like the Ramah, that Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuyah, we attempt to lower the number of Yisurim as much as possible, ask an Achri, of course, and therefore for a person, by the way, a first rule of Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos, always try and take a taxi. Ask the Nachri, never drive yourself aside from the problem that you won't be able to turn off your car when you get there because you have no head there to move your car unless you're blocking the lane. But if they have valet parking, I guess you could avoid it in that way. But you're going to run into big problems with turning off the car and all these kinds of situations. So always, always, always better to, assuming that time is not of the essence, always better to take a taxi if it's possible. Or even call Hatzalah, because to drive yourself, you're going to get stuck. But we seem to pass it because Nefesh on Shabbos is the Chuyah. So therefore, one should ideally avoid situations of Pikuach Nefesh if possible. So therefore, if Shechter suggested, how is a person ever allowed to be a doctor? You're picking professions, right? And the roulette wheel of professions. And you choose a doctor. Why do you choose a doctor? Now you're going to have to violate Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh. And even if it's B'mako Mitzvah, it's before Shabbos and B'mako Mitzvah, like the Balamar. But is this really B'mako Mitzvah? Rabbi Moshe argues there's no Mako Mitzvah for you to be a doctor any more than there is B'mako Mitzvah for a person to earn money in order to give tzedakah. There's no mitzvah to earn money in order to give tzedakah. There's no mitzvah for you to become a doctor. That's where Rabbi Moshe writes, a kohen who wants to go to medical school knowing he's going to have to violate the Surim of Tumas Kehanim and come in contact with Mesim. We don't say, well, it's B'mako Mitzvah and that's Doch the Isur of Tumas Kehanim. Rabbi Moshe says there's no mitzvah for you to be a doctor. Rabbi Tendler argues, and I've heard this in the name of others as well, but they're not, Rabbi Tendler printed it, that no, in the Jewish community it is a mitzvah to go to medical school, even if you might encounter, you know, you should try and avoid as much as possible, even though you're going to encounter Pikuach Nefesh of Shabbos, and Chilul Shabbos, or maybe even Tumas Kohanim, because we need Jewish doctors in every field. That itself is Pikuach Nefesh. We need nephrologists and immunologists and cardiologists and oncologists. We need all these things.
Okay. Sorry, what about a chaplain?
A chaplain is before Shabbos. Before Shabbos. And it's only a suffix. So you have both resolutions of the Balamar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tendler argued everybody we need Jewish doctors. Schefter doesn't subscribe to that. So he asked, how is a person allowed to go to medical school knowing he's going to have to violate Shabbos? No mitzvah for you to be a doctor. So Schefter argued that it must be that a person goes to become a doctor having a mind that he's going to heal people during the week. Ooh, a situation of Pikuach Nefesh arises on Shabbos too. Okay, so you happen to be well-equipped and well-knowledge, and therefore you're going to help people on Shabbos too, but that's not why you go into the profession. You go into the profession having intention only to work 6 days a week, not on the not on Saturday. If they call you in to save people, okay, so what choice do you have? But a person should have in mind going to the medical profession that he is going to heal people during the week. But it should be, otherwise, because that should be avoided. And even a doctor who is practicing should try and avoid practicing on Shabbos. Therefore, Moshe writes in the days of telephone books that a doctor's number should be unlisted. He shouldn't give out his number to his patients. That's what Moshe says. The patient shouldn't have the doctor's number. So others disagree with that because the Pesachei Tshuva and Yeradeya Shin Ayin quotes in the name of I forgot who he quotes that Lo Mikol Adam Zeich L'Israel is everybody has their doctor who they have a relationship with, who knows their medical history, and therefore they need their doctor. No other doctor will do. But a person should try, a doctor should try and avoid being on call on Shabbos. Why should you put yourself in a situation to be Pikuach Nefesh? But Moshe even held that a Jewish doctor is allowed to switch his shift with a non-Jewish doctor, even a non-religious doctor. A Jewish but non-religious doctor. And Moshe says it's not lifnei iver of an eitzarah. I'm not giving you bad advice because I'm helping you. Before you were going to play golf on Shabbos, and now you're going to be Michal Shabbos to drive to the golf course, and now you're going to be Michal Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh. In fact, I did you a favor. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees with Rav Moshe because he says the guy doesn't have in mind that he's being Michal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh in the mitzvah of Mechai Bahem Voshi Yamas Bahem, and he has in mind that he's going to work. And the Sifrei tells us that that a person who's Niskaven Lechol B'sar Chazir, he intends to eat pork, but also be other B'sar Tle, instead he eats kosher meat, requires a measure of kapara. So Shlomo Zalman held here too. The guy should require kapara. He thinks he's going to work, even though he's doing a mitzvah. He doesn't have intention for it. You need intention in order to enable, in order to evoke Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. So okay, Shlomo Zalman held shouldn't switch posts. But Moshe held, he can switch posts. I'm doing him a favor. But either way, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos should be avoided, since we hope Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya.
Wait, what was the she switched posts with a...
Should you be in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh milechatchila? The answer is no.
Right.
Why should you do it? So you'll answer, well, so Hatzal will tell you, because no one else is going to do it.
Right.
Okay. Who else is going to do it? Fine. But they don't need me to be a doctor. I'm not Hatzal. What do they need me? So the answer is no. I'm going to heal people during the week. Not really to heal people on Shabbos. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, you should try and avoid Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Well, why should I do it?
How did that play?
Avoid Pikuach Nefesh. Meaning, if there's a conflict, avoid conflict. Right? So avoid the conflict.
I mean, so you shouldn't.
Don't put yourself in that situation.
Right. So you shouldn't be on
Chol on Shabbos. Yeah. This issue of whether the Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra Dechuya, perhaps in Machlokes Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, some argue is really the underlying issue with regards to another Sif in Shulchan Aruch, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Ramban and Teresa Adam that we do for the Chayla whatever we would do during the week. That's the language of the Ramban. Kol Masha Oisin B'chol. The Magen Mishnah infers from the language of the Ramban that this implies kol tzaracha, meaning not only that which is essential for life-saving activity, intervention, but even that which is non-essential. Non-essential activities or interventions can also be performed. And the Bir Halacha asks, well, why? I mean, it's not pikuach nefesh. How is the secondary or ancillary care, an intervention is not for pikuach nefesh, directly allowed on Shabbos? The Magen Mishnah says you even violate d'oraisas for it. So therefore, since the Bir Halacha can't find any reasoning behind this, he lowers and says you can only rely on the Bir Halacha on the Magen Mishnah for Yisum d'Rabbanan. However, the Brisker Rav in a sefer on the Rambam quotes the name of Reb Chaim, even for Yisum d'oraisa, we can rely on the Magen Mishnah. The big difference, so let's say a person, at least according to the Bir Halacha, this will be according to everybody, let's say a guy's in a bed on Shabbos, in a hospital room, and it's an electric bed, and he needs the bed moved. So that's ancillary care. No one's going to die. I've never heard of mortality rates from not being in a comfortable position on the bed. But, the Easter involved, and we normally treat electricity as an Easter derabbanan, unless there's a glowing hot piece of metal, filament, it's usually treated as an Easter derabbanan. So you can do that for the chayla on Shabbos, assuming he's in a life-threatening situation. And even though it's ancillary care, you can do it. Or press the button for the nurse, even though all he wants is more ice or something, whatever. That all can be allowed. But the Reb Chaim and the Magen Mishnah held that was even by Yisurim D'Oraisa. Why? Why should even by be Yisurim D'Oraisa? So Reb Ochanan explains that the Kavod Tzaharis of Avadia has the same thing in the Chavad Das, that it's because the Shulchan Aruch feels, and that's the opinion of the Magen Mishnah, that because Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. Oh, there's no conflict here. So once this person is in a life-threatening situation, the floodgates are open. It's fine. Everything is allowed. Everybody on board. Even ancillary care. That which is not, the life-saving part of the intervention. Rabbi Ovadia compares it to Gemara Maseches Menachos. The Gemara says Maseches Menachos, when we bring Karbanos on Shabbos, that Karbanos on Shabbos are Hutra. It's not that there's a conflict between bringing the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar and Shabbos. The Shabbos doesn't exist when it comes to the Karbanos. So, but the Gemara discusses, what about burning the Chalav and Veivarim, those parts of the Karban that have to be burned on the top of the Mizbeach? Can you burn them on Shabbos? Mikra, then they can be burned Matzei Shabbos. But can you burn them on Shabbos? Typically, they're burned that day. But can you burn them? Should we wait till Matzei Shabbos? Or can you burn it on Shabbos too? So Gemara says, "Kevin shekvar dochsa shchitas haShabbos." Since the shchitas of the carbon tamid shol shachar and benu arba'im already was doicha Shabbos, so the floodgates are open. Now you can even burn the chalav veivarim on Shabbos too. So too says Reb Avadia. Since you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos for the etzem sakonis for the real life saving intervention, you can be mechal Shabbos for the ancillary care as well for shatz harachav as well. However, therefore, Rabbi Avadia limits the Magen Mishnah only to a time when we're already Machal Shabbos for the Pikuach Nefesh itself. Let's say a guy is Machmer himself that he is in a life-threatening situation, but he walks to the hospital. He lives so close that he walked. Then they get there and they tell him, there's nothing we can do for you today, but he needs ancillary care. So can you be Machal Shabbos for Shabbat Sarach if you haven't been Machal Shabbos for the life-saving part of the intervention? No. It's only if you've already been Machal Shabbos for the life-saving part of the intervention. With the Deiraisa, now we could be Machal Shabbos for the floodgates are open. Kevin Shekvar Dochsas usually as a Shabbos, Machal Shabbos for the Shar Tzarachim as well. However, others ask,
what would be, what's the Halamina
that
you would be able? I mean, you find out that there's no
Pikuach Nefesh? No, you get there, but we'll get to the situation in a second. Wait till Matzah Shabbos! But you haven't been Machal Shabbos yet for this guy. So can you say, well, it's shard, no worse than Shar Tzarachov, taking care of it, getting ice for him, or, pushing a button, or, according to the Magen Mishnah, even D'Oraisa, fire, make him warmer. Do it now. Why wait till Matzah Shabbos? No worse than Shar Tzarachov. No, it's only if you've once pushed the Shar Shabbos for the real, the floodgates are open. However, the Avnei Nezer has a different shot than the Magen Mishnah. As if Shechter likes to have the Nezer's shot better. And that is based on the Radvaz, that it's because once this person is already in a touch and go situation, he's in a pikuach nefesh situation, his life is in danger, we're afraid any small thing might tip the scales in one direction or the other. That's what the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos, that we push aside a bris, even if the child has a little ailment. We do this all the time. People push aside a bris for, you know, the most far-fetched kinds of concerns, and that's appropriate, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Kamma, that pikuach nefesh mila is a pikuach nefesh. That's what the pasuk means. Ki alecha haragnu kol hayom. We kill ourselves every day. For the Ribbonish Shalom refers to bris mila, pikuach nefesh. So since bris mila is pikuach nefesh, we're afraid any one little problem, could be life and death. It could skew things in one direction or the other. So to say that says that the Nezer, that's the situation with regards to Shah Tzarachav. Even though this is not directly related to his situation, if you don't move the bed or get the ice or light the fire, you never know what might happen. His situation might spiral out of control. In which case, even if you haven't pushed aside Shabbos for the real Sakana, you can push aside Shabbos for Shah Tzarachav according to Reb Chaim Midaraisa, according to the Magen Mishnah Midarabanan. That's the issue with regards to the situation that's addressed by the Chuvas Mitzpah Aryeh. Rabbi Avadia quotes Mitzpah Aryeh, who discusses the situation of a person who needs an intervention, but it could wait till Matzei Shabbos. Can you do it on Shabbos, or do you have to wait? So Mitzpah Aryeh compares this to Shah Tzarachav. He says it should be no worse than ancillary care. Well, and you can violate Shabbos for ancillary care. This, which is an intervention, which is life-saving, though it could wait till Matzei Shabbos, should be no worse than ancillary care. You can do it on Shabbos itself. So Rav Avadia agrees, as long as you've already pushed aside Shabbos once, either this Shabbos, or even last Shabbos, or the previous Shabbos, but as long as Shabbos has been nidche for this chayla, you can push aside Shabbos for Shah Tzarachav and do it on Shabbos itself. This, according to Avnei Nezer, even if you haven't pushed aside Shabbos at all, it could be allowed. Because we never know. It's a life-threatening situation. Even though the doctor says no different, do it now or later, you never know. So do it now. This issue comes up often with regards to stitches on Shabbos. Depending on who you ask, which doctor you ask, which pediatrician, sometimes you can wait a few hours, sometimes not. Always a risk of infection, but you could get to the hospital, clean it out, and then keep a bandage over it and wait till Matzei Shabbos, and no scar will develop, or no harm, no foul. But some die. It depends on how deep the wound is and how easily it closes and things like that. It depends on which doctor you ask. Also, fine. But let's say wait till Matzei Shabbos. You determine it can wait till Matzei Shabbos. Do you have to wait till Matzei Shabbos, or can you do it now? So it should be no worse than Tzar Tzarach. If you're going to have to stitch up the wound for Pikuach Nefesh, why? Why are you going to have to stitch up the wound for Pikuach Nefesh? Because otherwise it will open and it will get infected. So you're going to have to, if it's only once you clean it out with the iodine, you're afraid of a scar, then the Pikuach Nefesh is over. Once you clean it out, there's no more Pikuach Nefesh. So to stitch it up on Shabbos is now not Chadashi Yesh Bosakana. So then the place can say you have to ask an Achri to do it. Nachri, you could allow it because the person who's going to have a scar is treated like a cholish she'ein bo sakana. We'll get to in a second what a cholish she'ein bo sakana is. But since a person would undergo plastic surgery in order to fix a scar, so then you're allowed to ask the Nachri to stitch up the wound. But if you're going to have to stitch up the wound because otherwise it'll open and get infected, so you have to wait until Matzei Shabbos. So many compare this to the situation of Shah Tzarachav, and you don't have to wait until Matzei Shabbos. Why? Shah Tzarachav. So according to the halacha, you could violate the Rabbanans. Okay, so I could ask the Nachri to violate Shabbos. But a Jewish doctor then, if we're only based on Shah Tzarachav, we can really wait till Motzei Shabbos. We're going to do it now because no worse than ancillary care. According to Bir Halacha, then ancillary care can only violate the Rabbanans. A Jewish frum doctor can't do it. What if you get to the hospital, unless he's going to pass on Reb Chaim? What if you get to the hospital, and the guy's name is Goldberg, Alan Goldberg or something, I don't know anybody, Alan Goldberg, I'm just saying, or Daniel Stein, you get, that's the doctor. So can you ask him to stitch up the wound now? So if the doctor is unaware of the issue, we always say, Reb Chaim is a bar samcha. The non-religious Jew who's on call in the emergency room could rely on Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, yachol lismocha Reb Chaim b'shas achak. He could even violate their rights, so let him stitch up the wound now. It should be no worse than Shah Tzarachav. If you want to be machmor like the Bir Halacha, then get someone else to do it. Because stitching a wound might be deraisa, might not be, maybe yes, maybe no. So But we could probably pass it like Reb Chaim and allow the wound to be stitched up on Shabbos itself. You don't have to wait till Motzei Shabbos. If it's only for a scar, then you should ask a Nachri to do it. Dr. Abraham quotes from Shlomo Zalman that you don't have to minimize the number of stitches either. Once you're putting in stitches, because I say it has to be done now, you don't have to minimize the number of stitches. That's also called Shar Tzarocha. Besides the issue that Rabbi Neuberger raised, that the doctor is not going to listen to you anyway when you tell him only to do two stitches. Okay. What is considered, though? I mean, where do we draw the line? Yeah.
Okay, wound versus scar.
Scar is not sakana, right. And if once you clean it out, you're good. Right. You can put a butterfly on it and call it a day. So then the stitches now is you're a chodesh eibo sakana for sure, but not a chodesh yeshbo sakana. So a Jewish doctor can't do it.
Even according to the svara of
Shartan. Yeah, it's over. The sakana is over.
Okay.
You're out. You're out. You're in the clear.
Okay. Yeah. But are you saying, but the closing wound itself, which is post being sterilized, is only Shar Tzarocha?
Right. Yeah. Where do we draw the line, though? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Lam and Sif Aleph, that let's say Yoledes says she needs light in the room, and there's no fire. So you're allowed to light a fire for the Yoledes in order for her to give birth. What if she's blind? And the doctor says, look, we don't need the fire. But she's nervous. She wants the fire. But she doesn't even know whether a fire has been lit or not. She's blind. Nonetheless, you can still light the fire for her in order to calm her down. So Mishnah Berurah writes, in Gimel, you can calm people, lemeis of daita, shalachayla, we can calm people down. You're allowed to violate their rights to calm them down. Why? Probably, consider it Shar Tzarocha. I don't think it's going to save their life either way. Sounds like a Shar Tzarocha to calm them down. Or maybe we're afraid that they're going to become so distraught that they'll be in a life-threatening situation. Well, probably that's the pshat. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Vav Sif Tes, let's say the guy says, bring my relative here. I need to see him before the end. So then, no. And then you can't violate a deraisa, only derabbanans. What's the difference? The Shemir Shabbos Kofas explains, as well as the Tzitz Eliezer, that if the person is afraid we're not taking care of him properly, then you can violate a deraisa. He becomes so distraught, he might die, and will make his situation worse. If he's afraid, you know, he just wants to see his karav before he passes away one last time, his last words, you can't violate Shabbos for a deraisa. Only the rabbanon. But if it, you know, has to do with the person's care, even if it's going to make no real difference in terms of mortality, you know, the fire in the room is not going to help the yoledes, but she's afraid we're not taking care of her properly, you can violate Shabbos for a deraisa as well. That's why the poskim discuss, this is raised in a journal called Or Yisrael by the author of the Nitte Gavriel, a series of svarim in different areas of halacha by Rav Gavriel Tzinnener, Talmud Chacham in Borough Park, he wrote an article in this journal called Or Yisrael, comes out of Muncie. What should we say with regard to the doulas, which were very popular? I don't hear about it as much anymore. But the doula was basically a birthing coach. So there were many frum women who engaged this as a profession, but they had to go to the hospital on Shabbos in order to help the yoledes. But she plays an ancillary role. Can she come on Shabbos to help out the yoledes? So he argues no. The Nitte Gavriel says no. Because it's Shar Tzarocha, he says no. Doesn't really do too much. So my opinion, I printed this in the Beis Yitzchak 12 years ago, whatever, over 10 years ago. Yes. Why? First of all, statistics show whenever you have a labor coach that the rates of cesarean section go down. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. The cesarean section is a real operation. That's pikuach nefesh. So if you can minimize this rate of cesarean section, it should go down. Moreover, they're a good advocate. The husband doesn't know whether he's coming or going over there in the labor room. He's usually minimal help. This labor coach knows exactly what she's doing. So fine. So she's a greater help. But even more than that, they minimize pain. Pain itself is treated as sakanas nefashis. For example, Shmir Shabbos Kochas quotes the name of Shlomo Zalman. You could put a morphine drip on Shabbos in order just to minimize pain. Putting in a morphine drip is a isa deraisa perhaps. Why? Because it's not an intramuscular shot. This is important to know. The Shmir Shabbos Kochas writes an intramuscular shot is an injection, is an isa derabanan. Because even if you give the person bleeds, that's a malacha, you know, davashena miskaven. A person who bleeds after an intramuscular shot, probably the guy doesn't know how to give an injection, but it doesn't happen every time. So that's davashena miskaven. But an intramuscular shot, intravenous, that has to be in a vein. So you have to pull out blood to know that you're in a vein. Pulling out blood on Shabbos, the malacha, the yiraisa of chayvo. And you need the blood, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. Why do you need the blood? To know you're in the right place. He compares it to the Gemara, says Masechta Ksubis, that boil, to be boiled, be'ilas mitzvah on Shabbos, is a malacha de, the Gemara discusses, it should be a malacha de raisa, because you need the blood in order to prove that she's a psula. Here too, you need the blood in order to know that you're in the right place. Then Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe it's not the same, the blood by the psula you need forever to show everybody proof that she was a psula. But the blood over here in the vein, you only want to, if you would know you're in the right place, you don't really need the blood itself. So he said, maybe it's not a malacha d'oraisa. We usually treat intravenous injections as a malacha d'oraisa, but you can do it just to minimize pain. Pain itself, pain management, is treated as pikuach nefesh. So too, if the labor coach is going to minimize pain, it can also be allowed. But even more than that, the bialacha writes, the only time you give me mechal shabbos for shart sarachav, with a d'oraisa, is if you're sure it doesn't relate to the sakhanis itself. But if you're not sure, you can even violate d'oraisa. But even more than that, it's just to calm down the chayla itself. It's considered to be a pikuach nefesh. If she's afraid we're not treating her properly, she's not being cared for properly, you can violate a d'oraisa, like lighting the fire for the blind Yoledes. So too, to allow her doula, the woman, they swear by these guys, so to allow the doula to travel to the hospital on Shabbos certainly should be allowed for all the reasons that we mentioned. Aside from the fact that to have an advocate in the hospital on Shabbos, Rabbi Neuberger made emphatically, is considered to be pikuach nefesh. You need to have an advocate there. So that's why Rav Moshe discusses a husband traveling in an ambulance on Shabbos with his wife, who's a Yoledes. So Rav Moshe says it's allowed. Why? Because the wife is nervous. They're not caring for her properly without her husband there. So it should be similar to the case of the woman who needs the fire lit for her on Shabbos. And the husband will serve as an advocate. Dr. Abraham adds, the husband will serve as an advocate. Aside from the fact that we're not really sure one person in a big ambulance adds any malacha on Shabbos in the first place. Rabbi Black writes in the Contemporary Halachic Problems, that there was a professor here in the Belfer School of Mathematics or Engineering, the defunct school, Belfer School of Mathematics, once existed, that they tried to study this. Does one extra person in a car cause the person to step on the gas more or not? And they determined it's impossible to determine because there's too many variables. Depends on the driver. Some people are gas brake, you know. Many women drive like that. So, it's hard to know. One way or the other. Strike that from the record, by the way. Yeah. And it's hard to know whether or not it increases the number of malachas on Shabbos or not. So therefore, I think he says if it's such a big ambulance, like a heavy, it depends how heavy the vehicle is, a heavy ambulance, one person in the ambulance is certainly not going to make a difference anyway. So fine, yeah. What about, though, this is a very common issue, comes up all the time with regards to Shaar Tzarach of ancillary care, is that oftentimes nursing mothers, the baby doesn't take all of the milk, and they want to pump the milk into a container to feed to the baby later. So pumping milk into a container is a malacha d'oraisa of chaylev. It's a derivative of dash, of threshing, just like you can't extract the kernel from the husk, you can't extract milk from an animal, or by the same token, a woman can't express milk into a container to save for later. So it's a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. So they can't be done. For a healthy child, should not be done. But what about if you have a child who's not eating enough or nursing enough, or the child is in a neonatal intensive care unit? So then Dr. Abraham quotes from Shlomo Zalman and Chazon Ish that a premature baby, it can be allowed. And they explain because it's the mazon hativi shalo. It's his natural food. What does that mean? It's his natural food. So I believe what they're referring to is something that if you speak to neonatologists, they'll tell you, is that in the milk, there's in mother's milk, there's antibodies which prevent infection, and that, if you speak certainly to lactation experts, they have a whole drusha about this, but the mother's milk contains the nutrients that are appropriate for the child at every stage of their development. So there are antibodies which prevent infection. Even though we don't demand every mother nurse as pikuach nefesh for the child to prevent infection, even though any newborn that gets an infection is a pikuach nefesh, because we don't, obviously it's not, we don't believe in it that much that we demand every mother, recommend every mother a nurse. Well, a woman doesn't want a nurse, doesn't have to nurse. But it is Shaar Tzarachov. The child is in a neonatal intensive care unit. In my opinion, any child is in a neonatal intensive care unit isn't pikuach nefesh. Otherwise, the insurance company would never pay for it, right? So they're the ultimate arbiter. So from the fact that they're paying for it, there must be a reason that he's there. In which case, isn't pikuach nefesh nursing should be no worse into a cup, even though it's a malach d'oraisa, should be no worse than Shar Tzarachav. And even though, in general, we try and only be makel for Yisrim Darabanan, perhaps over here, where maybe there's antibodies to prevent infection, maybe even derisive of expressing milk into a cup. But for a regular chole, a regular baby, you know, the bouncing, healthy baby, for a mother to express milk into a cup, for a regular baby, seems to be difficult. Tzvi Pesach Frank is a shuvah in the Har Tzvi, where he quotes from the Gemara Masechtas Yuma that stam tinok mesukan eitzel chalav. Most babies are treated as suffix sakan when it comes to milk. So Tzvi Pesach Frank explains that's only because if the baby only drinks mother's milk. Yeah, if the baby only drinks his mother's milk and refuses to eat formula or anything else, then okay, then that's a suffix sakana. But if the baby will take formula, so then Tzvi Pesach Frank argues then the mother has no heter to express the milk into the cup on Shabbos. Or if she has milk stored from, the last month in the freezer, to store it on Shabbos, no. But I will caution you to tell a mother to take milk that she expresses or nurses on Shabbos and throw it into the garbage is a very, tread carefully, an emotional issue for many people. I've gotten, yelled at many occasions, so just be careful about that. Okay. I don't think it could be allowed, unless the child doesn't know how to nurse or, suffix sakana somewhere. I don't think it could be allowed.
Doing it for later? I mean, you're pumping the milk now, so later on when the child needs milk, you'll have it.
Very common. I get asked this 5 times a year.
Right, I'm saying, meaning the skara lahat here is the fact that the woman may not have milk later.
The baby's not going to have enough to eat.
After child.
Yeah, or some other, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to save to give to the baby now. The milk in the freezer, they're safe for later. But what do you have to save this now? Sometimes babies take milk better from a bottle than from nursing. So the mother says, I'll nurse it to a cup and then feed it to the baby. Yeah, but you have a whole freezer full of milk. So give the baby from the freezer. What do you mean, stam tinok mesukan eitzel chalav? I once spoke to a big paisik about this. He said, "Where are we going? The Gemara says, stam tinok mesukan eitzel chalav. Yeah, that's if the baby has nothing else to eat, not if you have a whole freezer full of milk and a thing of formula. Yeah. Or, okay, but if the baby needs the antibodies, NICU, okay. You speak to neonatologists, they recommend it. Okay. What is considered to be a chol sheyesh bo sakana and chol sheein bo sakana? So Shulchan Aruch tells the Shin Chav Chesed Gimel that if it's a makas shel chalal, if it's interior wound, minashanayim, vilifnim, from the teeth and on in, that's considered to be a chol sheyesh bo sakana. Or a dental abscess, and for anyone, pre-dental, deal with those kinds of things, that's a suffix sakana. It could get infected. You're allowed to violate Shabbos for a dental abscess. But the Aruch HaShulchan has a general rule, which I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, and that is that we know what a suffix sakana is. We live life the entire week. Whatever we rush to take care of immediately because of a life-threatening illness during the week, that is considered to be a life-threatening illness on Shabbos as well, and we should act appropriately. What about psychological illness? So Rav Schechter quotes in the Bikvei Hatzon in the Nefesh HaRav in the name of Rav Chaim. That psychological illnesses as well, a person who might, lose their psychological health, could be treated as a chol sheyesh bo sakana, assuming it's a severe illness, not something minimal. But a severe psychological illness could also be treated as a chol sheyesh bo sakana. Rav Moshe Nigros Moshe writes only if the person is suicidal. However, Rav Chaim felt, no, the quality of life can also be treated sometimes as a pikuach nefesh. In fact, the Mordechai, Mesechtas Baba Basra, quotes from Yishalmi, Mesechtas Peah, that when you're distributing tzedakah funds, you need 23 dayanim, in order to allocate the money, how much each person gets. Because that's pikuach nefesh. Who gets more money and less money? That much quality of life is treated as pikuach nefesh. Or the Yushalmi says, igun is in fact treated as a pikuach nefesh. For a woman to live as an aguna should be treated as pikuach nefesh. Which all seem to imply that quality of life issues do play into whether or not, assessing a situation as to whether it's pikuach nefesh or not. And therefore, Reb Chaim felt that psychological illness, even if the person is not suicidal, could perhaps be treated as pikuach nefesh. The issue comes up sometimes. What about the yoledes? Yoledes is a regular, a healthy woman. Is that treated as a situation of pikuach nefesh? So the Shulchan Aruch writes over here in Shin Lamed Sif Yud, that for Yoledes, you should try and minimize the number of Yisurim. Now, if you'll remember, that was only the opinion of the Ramah, that you minimize the number of Yisurim. Shulchan Aruch felt, and Mechal and Shabbos, Yisraelim Gedoylim, maybe even Gedoylim Yisrael, great Talmid HaChachamim, Why over here does the Shulchan Aruch by the Yoled say you have to try and minimize the number of Isurim? So the Brisker Rav explains, I think it's a little safer on Yuma, that there's two halachas going on here. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Lamed, where he deals with the halachas of Yoledes, so in Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch is discussing pregnancy. And in Sif Gimel, which is where the Shulchan Aruch says, Sif Aleph, I'm sorry, he says, Yoledes yikachol shein bo sakana, sheish bo sakana, and he never mentions, I'm sorry, that, yeah, no, there he mentions, v'chomokum v'chom mashi yechon l'shanos m'shanin. In Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch is discussing Yoledes herself. See, in Sif Aleph, he's discussing pregnancy. Pregnancy, in general, before you get to active labor, says the Brisker Rav, that's not a chosh sheyesh bo. I mean, it is a chosh sheyesh bo sakana, but you should try and minimize as much as possible. Because you're not in active danger. In Sif Gimel, we're not discussing pregnancy, we're discussing the woman in labor. So once she's in active labor, then that's not, you know, something that you encounter in normal healthy life, like pregnancy. She's in active labor. She's in, you know, in danger situation imminently. So then you makal Shabbos without being Mishana. You don't have to lower the level of Isurim. When you're dealing with pregnancy, you know, and it's a far out, it's not in active labor yet, you know, and yet something comes up, you should try and lower the level of Isurim that you're dealing with. But when it comes, she's in active labor, they're not. When is she in active labor? Shulchan Aruch says, we know this is Milchus Nida. When she's Yashris Alamashber, or whatever the, you know, the status, whenever active labor begins in Milchus Nida, here too as well, she would be in active labor, and you can be Machal Shabbos without being without being Mishana. But barring, let's say, a full-fledged Sakanas Nefashos, so what is considered to be a Sakanas be Machal Shabbos? So we discussed Sakanas Aver, that let's say a person is in risk of losing a limb, and the Shulchan Aruch here passing Shinuchav Chesif Yud Zayin, Sakanas Aver, we pass can only violate the Isurim Darabanan, not Deiraisas. But we mentioned that, of course, every Sakanas Aver, unless you're a doctor, has to be treated as Sakanas Nefashos. What about a Cholesh, you know, not that Yesh Bo Sakana, but the Cholesh She'ein Bo Sakana. So Shulchan Aruch and Shinuchav Ches, Sif Yud Zayin quotes four opinions about this. We paskin like the third opinion, that only Kelach Aryan and Amir Lenachri are allowed. That's it. Sakanas Aver is all the Rabbanans, Cholesh She'ein Bo Sakana. You know, no danger, loss of limb, or loss of life, then only Kelach Aryan and Amir Lenachri. The problem is, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Zayin, writes, you can give the Cholesh She'ein Bo Sakana medication. Medication on Shabbos is an Issur D'Rabbanan, Yizera Shamim Achlik Samamanim. You might come to grind up herbs in order to make medicine, which will be a Malach of Teichein on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to take medication as an Issur D'Rabbanan. I thought we said only Kelach Yad and Amir Lenachri. How are we evaluating Refuah B'Shabbos? So the Biralaka quotes from the Mishkan is Yaakov, who actually disagrees. You're right. No medication. Fine. You asked the Kasha, you got your answer. No medication. The Mishnah Berurah, though, quotes in the name of the Radvaz. Mishnah Berurah, Sekan Kuf Chof Al, quotes in the name of the Radvaz. If Shechter quotes, you know, has a lengthy piece about this, and there it's at Tzvi, Simon Vav, I think, that there's a difference between Gzeros Derabanan and Melachos Derabanan. That's a distinction that the Rambam has in Hilchos Shabbos. There's two types of Yisurim on Shabbos. There's a Melacha Derabanan, like writing with your left hand. That's the equivalent of writing with your right hand, but only Midrabanan. And then there's doing something which might lead to something else. That's a gzera derabanan. So some Yisurim derabanan are formulated as malachas derabanan. It's also because it's too similar to a malacha. Other times it's a gzera derabanan. A might lead to B. And for cholesh she'ein bo sakana, all gzeros derabanan are allowed. So therefore, medication or any other gzera derabanan would be allowed. If it's let's say mekachomemkar. Is as gzera shema yichtov. You might come to write. It's not writing. It's not that buying something is writing, the equivalent of writing, you know, but just midrabanan. No, it's gzera shema yichtov. So let's say a cholesh she'ein bo sakana needs medication on Shabbos. You can buy it for them on Shabbos. As strange as that sounds. Person is a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, migraines, headaches, needs medication. You can take money, which is tiltu muksa, a different shayla. But let's say, but you can buy the medication for them. Or ask an Achri certainly to buy the medication for them. No problem. All Xeris Rabbanan allowed, not Malachas Rabbanan. But then the Mishnah Berurah and Sivin Kuf, Sivkat and Kuf Beis, quotes the name of Chai Adam, that this is only Shalom B'Shas Archak, but if it's a B'Shas Archak, then the Chai Adam says you can even be make on all the Rabbanans for a chol she'ein bo sakana, and that's many people have that impression, that perhaps not mistakenly so, that you can make on all the rabbanans for a chol she'ein bo sakana, but not the raises. But strictly speaking, it seems that it's only gzeiros the rabbanan and not melachos the rabbanan. But let's say, it's important therefore to know what in fact is Issa d'Rabbanan, what's an Issa d'Oraisa. For example, we paskin all of Tchumin. Tchum Shabbos is only Issa d'Rabbanan. So to travel for a chol she'ein bo sakana. Let's say a common shayla that often comes up, a guy is in the hospital and now he wants to come home. This I get asked all the time. Guy released from the hospital on Shabbos. The end of his operation. He's still in a wheelchair probably, limping, but he's a chol she'ein bo, so he's still a chol she'ein bo sakana, but he's out of danger, obviously, although they wouldn't be releasing him from the hospital. Can he take a taxi home? So yeah, he can take a taxi home. Amir l'nachri is allowed. Tchumin. Tchumin, we paskin, all of Tchumin is only the Rabbanan, even Yosem Yud Beis Mil. All the Rabbanans. So for chol she'ein bo sakana, he can violate the Rabbanans, probably take the taxi home from the hospital on Shabbos, even if, or let's say a husband who goes to be with his wife, he could come home in order to take care of the children. The children, we'll see in a second, are all treated as a chol she'ein bo sakana. What is treated as a chol she'ein bo sakana? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Zayin, chol she'ein bo sakana is someone who's nafal l'mishkav. He's lying down, or the equivalent thereof. The Ramah, though, adds, tzar chetinok, a chol she'ein bo sakana. So therefore, if a child wants his omelet in the morning that his maid always makes for him, she can cook the omelet for him on Shabbos too. Yes, and an omelet is not bishalakum, it's not oilel shulchan malachim, so you make it for him on Shabbos morning too. That's something we usually, encounter, but yes. Why? Why are tzar chetinok considered to be a chol she'ein bo sakana? So if Shachar suggests in Vikvei Atzon, you have to say this, is because we're talking about a child, if they don't get what they want, they're going to throw a temper tantrum. So what does it mean, a chol she'ein bo sakana? Not someone who's nafal l'mishkav, literally. What it means is a person who is the equivalent of nafal l'mishkav, that he can't do what he normally would do. That's Rav Shechter's nusach. He can't do what he would normally do. That's a chol she'ein bo sakana. And you see like this from another sif in Shulchan Aruch. Sif in Shulchan Aruch tells us in Reish Ayin Vav Sif Hey that hakol cholim, if you live in places where it's very cold, you can ask a nachri to light a fire for you on Shabbos. This was commonplace. My grandmother used to tell me in Europe, that in England, where she grew up, common practice was they had a fire burning Friday night going into Shabbos, and then the Nachri lit another fire Friday morning, Shabbos morning. Common practice. That was all their only heating. And that's allowed. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if you live in a place, im hakor godol, you can ask a Nachri to light the fire, hakol cholim eitz hakor. Everybody's a cholim when it comes to the cold. Why is everybody a cholim when it comes to a cold? Because we subscribe to the, perhaps mistaken, theory that when it's cold outside, people get sick. People get sick from the cold air. People probably don't get sick from the cold air. They get sick from germs. Your immune system might be weakened in the cold air. You don't get sick from the cold. So why is it a kol cholim eitzah hakar? So Tain Weiss explains in the Minchas Yitzchak, because people can't function when it's cold. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says, im hakar godol. It's very cold. If it's very cold, you just can't walk around. It's just too cold to do anything. So you're a cholah, meaning the equivalent of a cholah. Not because we're afraid you're going to get sick in the future, it's preventive medication. You're sick now, because you can't function. That's why Dan Weiss says, in our times, where we are all pampered, that if we're used to the air conditioning, and we don't have air conditioning, and a person, it's like Gehenna, you can't function. So I'll call cholim eitzah hachom. Particularly if you're dealing with little babies or you're dealing with elderly people who need the air conditioning to function. That guy's 19 and can't live without the air conditioning. You got to second guess, what he means by can't function. But all right, but a person literally can't function because it's too hot. Maybe you could ask the Nachri to turn on the air conditioning as well. Hakol cholim eitzah hachom. Same notion. Or for example, Rabbi Yaakov Breisch writes in the Chelkas Yaakov, and this is quoted in the name of Rabbi Moshe as well, a couple that's having trouble having children needs to take medications on Shabbos in order to regulate cycles and things like that, violating an Issa d'Rabbanan refuah b'Shabbos, that can be allowed. Just like a chol l'shem b'sakana take medication, they're the equivalent of a chol l'shem b'sakana. What chol l'shem b'sakana? Everyone's going to shul, walking around, socializing. The answer is, part of their life is not functioning normally. They're not having children. So that would be considered to be a chole she'ein bo sakana. That aver, that part of the body, is not functioning properly. Dr. Abraham has this in the Nishmas Avraham as well. So therefore, birth control pills also. Let's say they don't want to have children. Maybe that's part of a svara too, that it won't be functioning in the way that they want it to function. Also, we'll get to the real hatter with regards to birth control in a second. But let's say a person has trouble sleeping Friday night. So can he take a sleeping pill? Yes. And then in the morning, he needs a caffeine pill. Also, can't function normally without it. Usually it's the same person asking the same child, the sleeping pills or caffeine pills. I have a guy, I know a guy, he takes sleeping pills Friday night. That's his Oinik Shabbos. He's trouble sleeping though, right now. You know, he said, I don't want to sleep in 12 hours, let me get my Ambien, and I'm done. I don't think that's right. If a person has trouble sleeping, okay, but if, you know, that's his Oinik Shabbos, it's to self-medicate, I don't know if that's got one. The Gemara tells us,
so
how does it relate back? That taking before B'Shabbos, one second, is awesome in the Rabbanan, Gzeir Hashem Yamachik Samamonim. You might come to grind spices. Even though, as Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, we don't do this, even if you would actually take your pill and grind it, you would not be in violation of Gzeir Hashem Yamachik, of Toichen on Shabbos, because our pills are already ground, and Ein Toichen Achar Toichen, Shmir Shabbos, Kochazah says. Nonetheless, this gzera continues to function, just because the reason doesn't apply, the gzera continues to apply. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Chav Ches Sif Chav Aleph and Lamed Zayin that this is limited to that which is a medicinal activity. But if it's what's called Michael Briam, healthy people do this too, then it's allowed. Even though you're doing for medicinal reasons, but let's say you're taking chicken soup because you're sick, but the whole house is having chicken soup too, even though you have in mind because you're sick, it's still allowed. That's called Michael Briam. Or you want to take a walk. Everybody walks on Shabbos. You're taking a walk to burn calories. Okay, so it's still allowed. Even though you're doing for refuel purposes, but that's Michael Briam. That's allowed. Or, let's say you're taking a medication, but you're not sick. You like halls. You like the taste of them. I'm a sugar man, but he likes halls. So halls is probably, Ludens is not a medication, but chlal, that's just candy. But a halls is a medication. No, most people don't like the taste of halls. But you like it. Yeah, okay, so fine, you can have it then. That's called Michael Briam. So too, let's say, and no one's sick. That's why Rav Henkin held. They said it's a Leviah for Rav Henkin, what a great Pesach he was. And one of the psukim that they mentioned, that his Leviah was, he was makel for people to take, he was a pioneer in this area, to take birth control pills on Shabbos. Why? No one's sick. Who's sick? It's Michael Briam. Or some hold vitamins too. Who's sick? No one's sick. Vitamins might be different, but birth control pills, I think that's the heter. No one's sick. Viagra is probably okay, because that aver is not functioning properly. But here, no one's sick. So birth control should be allowed. Vitamins, others argue, Rabbi Bleich argues, or Schefter argues, that is mechazik the body. That's not just no one's sick. That's like lechazik gufo. You know, that might be different. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkan Kuf Chaf, in the name of the Magen Avraham, that if it's lechazik gufo, then that's not called Michael Briam. That's called refuah b'Shabbos. So therefore, Rav Schechter, Rav Shlomo Zalman feel that one really shouldn't take vitamins on Shabbos. That's treated like medication. By the same token, Rav Schechter feels, as printed in the OU documents, that vitamins don't have to be kosher, assuming it's not chewable. If it's a pill, it doesn't have to be kosher. Rav Moshe has in the Igros Moshe, vitamins you can take on Shabbos. It's not medication. He calls it a food supplement. But at the same time, the OU documents quote in the name of Rav Moshe, Mipi Hashmua, vitamins have to be kosher. It's a food supplement. So you want to take it on Shabbos, that's fine. I hear that svara. It's not, that's Rav Moshe's argument, that it's a food supplement, but then it should really probably be kosher. But that's the opinion of the Tzitzeliaz or Bavadi as well, that vitamins are food supplements. So Rav Wilk holds you can take all vitamins on Shabbos because Titanish, they do nothing anyway. Rav Wilk feels the whole vitamin industry is a farce and a hoax. All it does is give you expensive bowel movements. But he says it really does nothing. I don't know about that. If a person's taking it for a specific reason, you know, then I think they probably do work. Rav Schechter, though, told me, he says, let's say a person takes a vitamin every day, so he thinks that that's probably called Michael Briam. But that's he's assuming, meaning if you take a daily vitamin for no reason. But I suspect, Rav Schechter said, I think it's medication, because he told me he only takes vitamin C when he's sick. I told him, Rebbe, it doesn't work once you're sick already to take the vitamin C. The vitamin C is preventive medication. You shouldn't get sick. It doesn't help once you're sick. Okay. But I don't know, maybe he changed his practice. But I find most people, the only people take, I could, you know, from personal experience and from people I speak to, you know, but that's anecdotally, only take multivitamins or vitamins to address some deficiency. So it is l'chazek gufo. I don't know, people take vitamins, you know, just like Michael Bianco. Everyone does it. Most people take a multivitamin, do it because they're deficient in one area, you know. So, or prenatal vitamins. So then that's more like, Sheth would probably treat as medication. Dr. Abraham and others write that folic acid is mamish bikuach nefesh. That's for a uberus to take folic acid is bikuach nefesh itself. Preventative medication, though, the assumption in all of this is that preventative medication perhaps could also be considered, if it's for to prevent a pikuach nefesh, perhaps also be considered pikuach nefesh, like taking the folic acid. That's based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Afkuf Memem and Aleph. The Gemara says, Hashos says chiltis, a person who drinks chiltis on Thursday and Friday, if he's not going to drink it on Shabbos too, he will be put in this pikuach nefesh situation. So Gemara says he could drink it on Shabbos to avoid putting himself later in a pikuach nefesh situation. So the place can derive from there that anything that's prevented the medication could also be considered pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. That's the pshat in the pasuk that kol machla shesamti on mitzrayim la'atzim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. The pasuk in parashas b'shalach. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, whatever I visited upon the Egyptians, I won't visit upon you because I'm your doctor. So the Gemara asks, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu's not going to visit us, these ailments upon us, what do we need our doctor for? There are those who darshanim derive that what it means is preventing medication, preventing illness, is also doctor. That's also refuah, you know, that's also a valid medical intervention. The Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer Achayim derived from that same Gemara about the Chiltis, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, that anything that comes as part of a series is never refuah b'Shabbos. But again, Neuberger mentioned that Sfar, but most don't accept that. Most say only if it's prevent pikuach nefesh. Not everything that's part of a series is not refuah b'Shabbos. But the Chazon Ish did add, and Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this too, that if you can't get a refuah any other way than taking it every day, let's say even if it's just acne, but if you're not going to take the medication every day, or allergy medicine, if you're not going to take the medication every day, it doesn't work. So then, even if not, the guy's not going to be sneezing and his eyes will blow up and become puffy and he won't be able to function. Even if it's just going to become a nuisance, but if he doesn't take it every day, it just doesn't work properly, so then you can't take it every day. And it can't be that Chazal would make a Gzeir D'Rabbanon that would prevent a person from being, you know, getting a refuah, even if it's not a Chodesh Ein Pasukana. The last thing is, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Mem Beis, one is not allowed to exercise on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, because by exercising you would sweat, and the sweating on Shabbos, there were medications that produced sweat. They believed sweat was somehow a medicinal, you know, like the Schwitz, was a medicinal activity, and therefore schwitzing on Shabbos is also, also because of refuah b'Shabbos. You might come to lead you to sweat by taking a medication. So all exercise on Shabbos is also asim d'rabbanan as part of refuah. And the Bi'ur Halacha adds, even if you're exercising in a way that you're not sweating. So exercising is a problem. If you're going for a power walk on Shabbos, that's a problem. That's refuah b'Shabbos. If you're taking a spatzir, dressed in your Shabbos clothes, a walk, that's Michael Briam, even though you have in mind heart health. But it's Michael Briam, everybody does it. But to go power walking on Shabbos, certainly to have a basketball game, or, you know, that is certainly not appropriate on Shabbos, despite there's a whole literature about it, but then not for now. That is certainly refuah, but Shabbos not allowed. The Magen Avraham and the Taz, right, in Shin Ayin, Sif Aleph. What about the little kids who enjoy running around on Shabbos? Bachurim hamis angin, beritza b'Shabbos. They enjoy it, so then it's allowed for them. It's an ayinik Shabbos. What about adults? They say no. Most adults have in mind the exercise. A guy who plays basketball, adults who do this, have in mind the basketball. You know, the exercise that's involved, the refuah that's involved. You'll say no. Shmuel Shabbos Kol Chassid discusses. What about a guy? That's not what he has in mind. He is in mind, simply Einik Shabbos. His Einik Shabbos is a 3-on-3 pickup game. So then we have to sit down and have a schmooze about what Shabbos is for. Shabbos is not for playing basketball. Shabbos is only in order to learn Torah. So then we just have a matter of priorities being off. It might not be refuah b'Shabbos. We have a larger, you know, bigger issue of just priorities on Shabbos. Okay. But generally speaking, exercise, when you have in mind refuah, you know, your health, that's l'chazei gufo, and probably including the Yisrael before B'Shabbos. Okay.
Can you imagine these college basketball players not playing for health?
What?
They want their scholarship. Guys playing college ball.
Yeah. They're Masonic. Then, no, then that's work on Shabbos. Then you're, that's your panasa. But I think they probably enjoy it. Yeah. Saul Berman printed it years ago in the first volume of the Eida journal that we bore on Shabbos. Is actually a good activity. It reads, you know, what else are people doing with their time? So. And here's a long piece of that.
What about working out on Chalmud?
Okay,
is that
someone's phone up there?
Do we know if he's
going to
upload that?
I mean, I'm going to upload this.
Right.
So,
he said
to delete the part about
that. I'm not doing that. I don't know how to do that. I'm also still recording. I'm sorry.